Welcome to We Watch Too Much TV, the weekly podcast where two real-life best friends dish on all the TV content they've been binging in their remote work-based lives. Babbling about everything from scripted television to reality TV and film, these two besties will immerse you in their quirky universe of streaming. Here are your hosts, Jaroslyn and Tanea.
I want some of your brown sugar, sugar. Mm-hmm. I want some of your brown sugar, sugar. I cannot believe D'Angelo was gone.
I mean, honestly, first of all, welcome back to We Watch Too Much.
Sorry.
Season 6, episode 7. Tanea does that every time because she really gets into her musical selections.
Listen, music is the love of my life. I love a good song.
I am a firm believer in just living on after you're gone in the physical presence. And even though the thought and knowing that D'Angelo is physically gone, he has always lived in my house.
Yes.
Since yes. I was young. I have listened to D'Angelo regularly. And when I say regularly, like I have certain songs that just stay regularly in my rotation. One of them is Untitled. The other is Bilal, Soul Sister. These are like, you know.
Yes, you must be my soul.
The other sister. One is, I never know how to say her name. Goapele.
Goapele.
Closer. Goapele. Closer. Mm-hmm. And Amel LaRue. For real.
Amel LaRue.
Yes. So those are like my five songs that I listen to regularly. It doesn't matter what year it is. I've been listening to them since I was in high school consistently. So D'Angelo, and then that's Untitled is just like, you know, one of my favorites, but I know his library. I know the B-sides, you know, like I have all of that. So I listen to him regularly so much, and he was always such a low-key person regardless. Like you didn't really know what he was doing. If he was going to perform, he was going to perform. But other than that, he lived his life. And so in my mind, that's how it is.
Yeah, he definitely got sent on good. I will say I have a really close friend who kind of told me before it was leaked to the press that he passed on, but he was sick. And I remember a lot of people were judging him over the summer because he was supposed to head the Roots picnic in July. Yeah. But last minute, Maxwell had to do it. And I love that Questlove was one of his best friends. He kept it quiet. Yeah. And Maxwell was just like, let's just send love. And I just love that, you know, you haven't really seen too much. They respect him. But D'Angelo going to live on forever. If the Lord grants me marriage, he's going to be there.
It is good to also see how so many artists of all different genres have come out to share how he impacted their music. Just so for the other people, you know, outside of the Black community or even outside of people that really listen to real R&B, because there's a difference between the R&B that maybe some of the younger generation or people from other cultures might be introduced to and they're thinking that's R&B. But those of us who really listen to R&B, you know artists like D'Angelo, like Maxwell, like Jill Scott, like India Ari, like Raheem Devon. Like these are people that you just know because their music is real rooted soul R&B. So it's good to see now that people are acknowledging that. It's unfortunate it happens in death, but it always happens. That's how it goes. And art always lives on forever, whether it's a painting, whether it's a movie,
yes,
and of course music. So rest in peace, D'Angelo. Thank you so much for sharing your gift with us. And, you know, starting off so young, he started off at like 19 with his debut album and giving us three timeless classics. You can always listen to those albums. So
10 out of 10.
RIP to D'Angelo and prayers to his family, especially his son with Angie Stone. Mm-hmm. Because to lose two parents so kind of like tragically and untimely within a matter of months.
Right. That's a big deal.
Especially with Angie Stone. That is just completely tragic. And traumatizing. So just prayers to their son, who is Michael Jr., named after D'Angelo. And yes, because you know what, we watch too much TV. We really know our music stuff too. We are very rooted in the culture, all forms of pop culture. Here we just focus on the television. How was your Halloween? I saw you dressed up as
it was cool.
A old school basketball player. Cause I was like, where is she going with those little booty ass shorts?
I was a Chicago Bull. I don't want to hear it. Don't
She
hate
was the Chicago
but
Bull from when Michael Jordan first
yes, I
joined the
was. I had
1980s.
on Jordan sneakers, but a Rodman jersey. So I was whichever bull you wanted from 1994 to 1998.
No, it was definitely 1986, Michael Jordan.
Listen, you wasn't in those groups. You don't know the shorts they wore. But
We
one
just
thing
know the
about me,
pictures.
I will die on this hill unless my life changes. I will never spend money on Halloween. Any Halloween, and I think it's because when I was younger, my mom and my grandmother used to just give me my cousin's hand-me-downs. So I was never brought up to like make Halloween a financial thing. So I'm not spending money. I'm spending $20 or less. And I bought those shorts for $10 and I bought some socks.
First
I
of
had
all,
that jersey.
Amazon is alive and well, okay?
Even those, the ones I won, I was like $50 for 4 hours. I will not.
Yeah,
No, I
sometimes
won't.
they are, but it is, if you're going
I'll
to
be a
like a
Black
little
Panther every year. We're all black every
some
year.
yeah, some people really get into it with their costumes, and honestly, I do love it because I don't think Halloween, well, some people are really Halloween connoisseurs, but I just, like Christmas gets all the praise as it should because it is the best holiday. But Halloween really is so much fun because just seeing everybody in their costumes is such a good distraction from reality because people get so creative. I
No,
love
I
seeing.
love it personally. I love it. And if it was like, I would do it, but not right now. It's just, I personally do not like to invest money, but it was good. It
Yeah,
was
because you really
good.
wear it like one time. You can recycle costumes, but now it's like you can't really take a picture with it or, after you already took one picture with it, you know how social media is now.
Exactly. It's
But
gonna
yeah,
stay forever.
I don't get too crazy with it. I get try to get creative. Now we're having a kid. You want to dress up with your kid, but I'm like, I'm not spending like too much money. This year she was Blue's Clues.
Yes.
And I was Josh, which every millennial is like, oh, you're Steve. No, guys, it's Josh now.
Well,
Steve is no longer.
he be visiting sometimes.
Yeah, well, what I love what they did with it is they kept the host in the Blue's Clues world. So Steve is a detective, and periodically, Josh reaches out to Steve and Joe. He was the second host. Joe works in a gift shop, and periodically they just make up guest appearances on the show, and it's like it's not like it's out of the norm because they continue to introduce the old school hosts to the new kids that are watching. I love it. It's honestly, it's so sweet. It's so sweet to see how they continue to the legacy of Blue's Clues, and then just seeing like Marley now it's she still tolerates cloud babies, but Blue's Clues is her jam. Like, she, if I put it on, she starts smiling. She really gets engaged where she'll sit down in her little chair and watches the TV like, and if I get in her way, she'll like move her head, like, get out of my way, mommy. I'm watching Blue's Clues.
We
So
just
yeah.
talked about Blue's Clues.
Yeah, so Blue's Clues is a classic. But yeah, so Halloween was good and now it's done. Mariah Carey said it's over. It is Christmas time
Oh
now.
God, they
We are
don't even
now.
give you 24
Right. And
hours.
you saw the Christmas co commercials kicked off ASAP. They was not playing with us. They said it is Christmas on November 1st. So it's holiday season, y'all. Thanksgiving time, Christmas time, New Year's time. Period. Period. Dot blank. So let's get into what we've been watching as part of our weekly grab. Okay, best friend, what is first on your list?
First on my list is probably one of the best documentaries I've seen in a long time. And it is actually came out about 2 years ago, maybe a year and a half, a half ago. Robin Williams, Come Inside My Mind. It was just beautifully done. It just tells the story of Robin Williams and his childhood. First of all, I didn't know he was the only child, technically. He was the only child. His dad worked a lot. His mom had an older brother that she sent were her parents, and then after they divorced, his dad had another kid, and so they all three brothers grew up as like only children, and then one of the brothers was like, I wonder how we would be if we grew up together instead of like that older like mindset where your siblings can't grow up together. But you get insight into his mind, into his brain, how he started. It was kind of a thing of solace to be funny to him. And at first, he was a real serious actor. But then he realized his brain was always moving, which kind of ties into the end. He always had ideas and would just be really funny on the spot. Got into comedy from comedy. His son said something to the director of Happy Days. And then that's how he got on Happy Days. That worked out. He did his first TV show, became a big actor. You get to speak to his wife, one of his kids. I did not know that him and Jim Belushi from, James Belushi, sorry, from SNL were really, really close. And they were both really, really bad on drugs in the early 80s. He was with him the night he died. Like he was supposed to go see Robert De Niro. Robert De Niro had women in a hotel. He said, go see Belushi. Him and Belushi started doing drugs, but he left because he had a girl at the time. And that's the night Belushi died. And he said that got him clean. He said that straightened him up. He even like testified at the actual trial that they had for him. But I did never knew that they were that close at all. Then you go
I
into
knew that he did drugs because I'll never forget that James John Witherspoon to always told the story that he stole his cocaine at a com yeah at a
back in
comedy
the
club.
80s,
Yeah,
yeah.
yep.
He was like, he was really bad on it. Then he got good for a long time. He got married to his first wife. He had kids. His success when the Oscars, how like his kids always also talked about how you have this popular, loving dad, and it's amazing because it was his idea to do like comic relief, to give back to the homeless, to do like the USO tours for the troops. He said, but he was always away from his kids. So when he was here, it was great, but he would give so much to everybody. And then you also got to see his close friends talk about towards the end. He was clean for over 30 years, kind of started drinking a little bit again, but then had some health issues. But towards the end of his life, they said that there was just like a sadness that he couldn't overcome. And everybody would ask him, and they would say, he would say he was okay. But then he found out he had dementia and Parkinson's, like really close to each other. And somebody said that they thought that he probably thought he didn't want to burden people. And so instead of just allowing himself to live that out, he was like, no, I'm just gonna end th those are two things that I don't want to live with. And so he ultimately chose what he chose. But it was just beautiful, the editing, the interviews. I learned so much about how his brain worked and how one, it's important to say when you're not okay, but also it's important to like take rest, because they said he overworked himself a lot. So it was a great documentary. If you want something light that's not too heavy, I suggest Robin Williams. What's first on your weekly grab?
I'm definitely gonna watch it because I
It's
love
really
Robin
good.
Williams. So first on my weekly grab, you already know your girl is your Selling Sunset girl.
That's it. As soon as I saw it coming back, I said, Javasa gonna put it
Yeah,
on
you was
the
like, all
grab.
right, let
I
me
don't
make
gotta
sure.
worry about it.
Period. Like, you're like, Javon's gonna give us the breakdown, and as I am. Okay. So, season 9 is basically the same old same as it relates to luxury houses being shown all around LA because they're not being sold. Not one sale was happened in this season. I would say this is probably the first season where I was like, did one house get sold? They ain't sold that one house, best friend. All 10
So
episodes,
they just on this show showing houses,
they're
but
just showing
nobody's
houses.
buying.
And I would say, they didn't know. I don't think they knew we would be in the climate that we're in, and they still have to stick to their script of their show. But it just has a different feeling because of the climate that we're in, then everything that happened in LA. So it's like, why y'all show? Well, I don't want to see these 16 million houses. Just start fighting because I like, we everybody is
Not
poor.
just start fighting.
Like, give us why we're here because it's like y'all showing us these luxury homes. But at the end of the day, that is what the show is about. But I don't know, something just felt different where it just wasn't as captivating these homes. Maybe because they've done this before, but still
Even what was
they
that girl show, Sherelle? Even she was like, say at the end, like, oh, this person decided to buy. She would buy something, but to not buy anything?
No, not one whole house was sold this season of Selling Sunset. But we get the follow-up on Nicole. She's like the villain after Christine left. So Nicole saying that Emma is a husband stealer. She has said that last season being shady, and it got back to Emma and they had the talk, but now they got beef. And so Chrishell is like sticking up for Emma at this Friendsgiving dinner. But at the same time, it's like, and you see Nicole went to this setting just trying to be positive. She started out telling them something. She had an issue with her eye and she couldn't see or whatever. But you could see Chrishell is giving her the cold shoulder from the jump, like just being real, like stank, shady, like not like just like sh like low key shady, like no overtly stank shady to Nicole. And then she starts up a fight with her. So then they're kind of like going back and forth, but Nicole is still trying to like not take it there. But Chrishell, remember Chrishell had called, said that she does cocaine last season. So she brought that back up. So then that's where Nicole was just like, well, like your parents. And you know, Chrishell's parents are
Oh.
dead. So it's like at the end of the day, and from the consensus of what everybody's saying, it's like Chrishell barked up that tree. And you can't play, you know, you want to smoke, you got burned.
That's
Okay.
it. That's it.
You can't always be the victim because we have seen Chrishell always get painted as like the woe is me every season. Because I will admit, you know, in the early season, she was the target. But you know, now it's like, girl, you ain't a target no more. Now you're like the, you know, a big dog. You dated one of the Oppenheim brothers, so you know you're a veteran on the show at this point. So it's like, you know, you kind of like coming in with such a strong energy, it's a bit mean girlish, and so you got what you got. She gagged Chrishell. Chrishell was legit speechless, like, yeah, because that was granted, and yeah, that's a low blow. The girl's parents died. She admitted that one of them, or I don't know, one of her parents was like battling, had a drug ba addiction. So, but you're gonna keep on camera saying that I do drugs and saying I do drugs. It's like I'm gonna go low. I know I would have said the same thing, you know. So, some people is like that. You can't be sh surprised when people get like that if you making them get like that and
I
they
was about
already
to
get
say,
like
you
that.
can't invite yourself to some type of energy like that and then be surprised when
Right.
people give
Then
you
on top
what
of
they give
that, Emma got this new guy that she's dating named Steve or whatever. And it's like Chrishell from jump. Now, granted, best friend, this is something you would relate to because it's like my best friend is a super Leo, a lover Leo. Okay. And if she, sometimes she meets someone and she is in love, like, you know, and I'll meet them and I can have a sense of maybe it's not going to work, but I don't want to push that on you. You know, I want you to experience whatever your experience and be happy. Chrishell is doing the exact opposite. She is just pushing on Nicole that she does not like this guy and it's not going to work and this is not her person. Literally exact words. And so you can see it kind of discourages Emma from wanting to share, you know, anything more with this relationship because she does like the guy. You know, like she's trying to give it a go. In the end though, Chrishell was right. It doesn't work out. But at the same time, it's like you didn't give her that support as a friend to feel comfortable coming to you about this relationship. So you get to see that play out. So you see a little bit of just kind of like a little meanness coming from Chrishell this season, which is like a bit new for her. Then the big thing that everyone is like left with, because the way the season ends is this big drama between, it's not even a big drama, first of all. Mary is completely bothered by Chelsea.
because she
And
black and she beautiful.
so I had to go back and one conversation on Twitter with the Selling Sunset community, I had to ask for everyone to remind me what was the root of what started Mary and Chelsea's issue. Chelsea, as with all the women in the show, but I would say Chelsea is the most fashionable. She did seem like she toned it down this season. She had came to a showing, this was last season, and her outfit, it was like a cute little suit set, but it was like the shorts were very, very short. But also, you know, she has a model body. She's not, she doesn't have a, you know, a big Amber Rose booty. It's like, so it's still, even though it's like a you know, it's showing a lot of leg, it's tasteful. It's fashionable. It's hot. It's all the things that they all do because
Right.
you see them in different, all of them, including Mary, cleavage, back out, legs showing, all of them do it. But Mary made a big deal about Chelsea wearing this outfit. And so Chelsea gathered her together through a text message. That was the start of this. And now Mary is like, I don't feel safe around her. You see this,
Oh, white women in safety would be
right? You
kill me.
see this season, Mary's house gets robbed. Chelsea sends her a bouquet of flowers saying, you know, just thinking of you, even though I know we're not on the best of terms, whatever. When you see when the flowers first arrive, Mary goes, aw. And then as soon as she reads the car and finds out who they're from, oh my gosh, she's so livid. She tells them she wants to stop filming. She makes the cameras leave and everything. And then here comes Jason, like, cut the cameras off or whatever. Cause you know, they used to sleep together. One of the few employees that Jason has slept with, by the way. So Mary, now it's just like you're seeing, like, wait, Mary's really bothered by Chelsea. And it's like, why? Like, what has Chelsea done that bothered her so much? So then they have the group dinner at the inn, and that's where, you know, even before Mary says she has an issue with the flowers, Chelsea already started pouring into Mary about the robbery. She was like, because, you know, this is in wake of the LA wildfires. And Chelsea's like, look, I know, you know, you might be reluctant to express your sadness, feeling like you don't have the right to because other people completely lost their homes. She's like, but you lost something too. Your privacy was invaded and you worked hard for your things. So you have the right to be upset. And Mary's like wiping fake tears, like, thank you, thank you. Then literally a few minutes later, she's like, well, I don't understand why you sent me flowers and you just knew I was filming. And it just doesn't, I don't think it was genuine.
But if the robbery was recent, it wasn't like it was only when she
Right.
was filming, right? So it'd be one thing if the robbery was like 6 months before and there wasn't no cameras. But if the robbery happened
It happened,
while
and I'm sending you flowers. But also, she said she didn't know she was filming. She literally sent the flowers, and it just happened to be that she was filming. And so then now Chelsea gets livid, and she gags Mary once again because Mary, you can't handle somebody with a quick tongue.
And
And
can't.
so now at this point, and then you know, Nick Cannon's 18th baby mama over there, she don't like Chelsea because Chelsea expressed that she didn't like how Nick Cannon was making families with all these different women last season. So, you know, Bree never's gonna like Chelsea. So Bree's making these little faces and little side comments, like making it clear that she don't like Chelsea either. But Chelsea stood her ground and she j gathered everyone together. But you could also tell she was getting so mad. So now Mary hates Chelsea to the point that Nick Cannon's 18th baby mama has a Galentine's Day. And she still invites Chelsea. Chelsea decides to not go because she's like, I know these bitches don't like me. I'm not showing
So
up.
why would I go? Right.
But the event planner still had put the name tags out for everyone that was on the guest list. And so when Mary saw Chelsea's name tag, girl, she freaked out. Freaked out. And this was already after a scene that she had with Jason, basically telling him it's her or me that I'm gonna quit if Chelsea is here because I don't feel comfortable. I don't feel safe.
Girl,
And then
calm
now you
down.
see, now that it's come out post interviews of her saying she feels like in danger. And so this is where it's like, okay, I still rock with Chrishell, even though, you know, she got gathered on the show. But Chrishell is just calling it out like, girl, I'm there all the time with you. Like, nothing has ever happened to make you say that you feel in danger. And then even in a thought, like in a comment she wrote on Instagram to someone, she was just like, look, there are some, she didn't name names, but she was like, yes, there's some people that I do love on the show, and they do have microaggressions and rape and racial bias that needs to be, you know, spoken on. She was like, and I tried to have a conversation with her at the season finale, but she chose to not show, or, well, she gave us ultimatum because she said she feels in danger around Chelsea. She's like, but let me stop talking before I get in trouble. So it's like there's even more to it going behind the scenes where it's like Mary's really trying to get Chelsea off the show and it's messed up because it's like, let's be real and take it back. The only reason Chelsea got brought on is after the whole 2020 racism thing. Okay. They didn't have a black girl on. Christine was advocating, even saying that she wanted some more diversity on the show. They brought Chelsea. Chelsea comes and brings it because she's fucking gorgeous. She dresses her ass off. You know, we watched her go through the divorce, so you see her really dial it back this season. She's not on here trying to start drama with nobody. She is really, you could see the vulnerability in her in every scene. And it's like, it's like, yo, the girl's going through a public ass divorce, you know? So for Mary to sit here and act like a victim over this girl sending you flowers and you're really that bothered, and it's just like you have to really think of back on how many altercations Mary has had with other women in the office and she's never acted like this. It's just like, girl, if the shoe fits, if the racist shoe fits, if the
Wear it.
microaggressive shoe fits, put the shit on, Mary, because I'll give it to Stassi's racist ass on Vanderpump Rules when she was like, okay, I gotta go get some. She said it on Tamra Hall that she went and got some racial bias training. Because it's like, yeah, if I'm the problem, I'm the problem.
But you
So
got to be
I'm
open to being a problem, because
right.
sometimes
So
it's you.
The reunion is coming up. I will be tuned in because I want to see how this gets addressed. If it gets addressed, it has to get addressed. Because even during that showdown at the dinner table, Chelsea said to Mary, she was like, because Chrishell's trying to tell Mary, like, no, she really meant it. She meant it. It was coming from a genuine place. And Chelsea's like, you need to listen to your friend because when this comes out, you're going to look really bad.
And
She's right.
she was right.
She was trying to tell her,
Did
like,
she
girl,
post
they're
the
going to say
Instagram
you
apology
racist.
yet? Did she do it
No.
yet? No.
She's still acting like a victim on the interview. So it's like, ooh, and it's like, it's unfortunate because when I tell you I really, really liked Mary, I did like Mary. And now it's like when you watch someone on TV, and this is as like a black person, I feel like we take affinity to people. We've adjusted to watching other people that don't look like us on television. Like we grew up doing that, right? So it's
Right.
like you could take affinity to person to someone, and then to later find out that they might be a little racist. It is so disheartening because it's like, come on, not you too. So overall, I loved the drama this season. Wasn't here for the houses. It just wasn't coinciding, but maybe because of the climate that we're in. But overall, it was a good season. I give it an 8 out of 10. Everybody gets on my nerves, minus Chelsea and
You
Emma
said
a little bit,
everybody.
Emma and her empanadas. But yes, y'all know I love me some Selling Sunset. So check it out if you're kind of into messy reality television. Season 9 is on Netflix. What's next on your weekly grab, best friend?
Now, we done spoke about this show before, but I'm gonna say it and I'm gonna say it again. I will forever watch all 22 seasons
Oh
of
my goodness.
Grey's Anatomy.
I do
I
not
have seen
understand.
every single episode,
How
not
is the show
second.
still on?
It is amazing. I think it's great. Just a little, just a little input. So this latest episode, so like I said, we're up to season 22. They do kind of bring in new interns, new meat. They have some of the people who've been there since season one. Excuse me, Meredith is not full time anymore, but she does the voiceovers, and she at least does 2-3 episodes a year because it is called Grey's Anatomy. She still does promo for it, so I love this relationship she has with the show. She was like, "I can't get away that I'm Meredith Grey, like it's a blessing," but she doesn't want to devote as much time. So every year she does like maybe 2 to 4 episodes, and she goes. So right now she's in Seattle. They're helping. There was just like a big accident at the hospital. They brought in new blood, Mr. Trevor Jackson. Shout out to him. He's such a like diverse actor, and like when I watch him on Grey's Anatomy, I don't think of like grownish or like his music. Like I
Okay.
really believe that he's an intern. So they have Meredith back. They have Lucas, who's one of the new residents. He's actually Meredith's nephew-in-law. They kind of did a play on Derek Shepherd, who died. That's his sister's son. They don't show which sister, but I think they'll reveal it probably later this season. But anyway, what's going on is two things that I want to talk about. Owen, divorce, lack of divorce. Him and the chief of staff, her name is leaving me. So this love story, they were best friends like season 12. They were both with different people. By season 17, 18, I guess they decided to bring them together. They have one kid together. I think they adopted two kids. But it's just the most annoying storyline. And now she's a lesbian, or at least exploring it. She's like having like a situationship with a woman who's in a polyamorous marriage. It's just a lot for me, this their whole situation. But what I do love about this show is it gives me an insight to different, like the hardships of like the medical field, because I would never be a doctor. But they have this one young 27-year-old black girl who's a couples therapist, but she also has stage 4 cancer and it's spreading around her body. And they're trying to find clinical trials. And then you see Meredith's nephew just kind of navigate going from, I want to do more surgeries to like, I want to help her out and do more research because there's two parts of medical drama. But also, I just love the friendship dynamics, the relationship dynamics. F. Karasik, because Dr. Karasik took Meredith's idea, but he only tested the male mice for Alzheimer's, not the female mice, and that's sexism. But it's just like that show that I will finish. I'm trying to go back to a lot of old shows and kind of catch up, but it's not Grey's. So Grey's, even if nobody else watches, I'm watching until you go off the air.
No, clearly other people
It
watch it because it's
has like
still
a lot
on.
of watches. It is actually pretty popular.
No, y'all have y'all community. I don't know why you're not in the Grey's Anatomy Reddit group. because you know that's what
I'm more
I
on
like.
like the TikToks of like the favorite episodes
Yes,
and
I'm sure
people
you're in the Grey's
remember.
Anatomy community.
Oh, I love them. But yes, that's my show and I love it. What's next on your weekly grab?
So next on my weekly grab is a show that I talked about earlier in the season when it kicked off, Gen V. So it's Gen V season 2 finale. Oh man, because you know it's only 8 episodes and it's so disappointing. I wish it was 10. I love Gen V. I love the boys. So we get the Guardians of Godalkin episode. It was turned all the way up. So the Godalkin students, they come together to take down Godalkin, who came back to life from a decade-long state of paralysis in his old burnt fleshly body. And he was keeping himself alive through like doses of Gen V, of Compound V, and using the body of Doug, who we thought was Cypher, the principal, who was mad evil. It was actually Godalkin the whole time, because Godalkin's power is to tell, kind of mind control. So Marie, who is like basically like the Neo, she's like the chosen one that Cypher, aka Godalkin, was training basically to bring him back from the dead. Well, he wasn't dead, but bring him out of this state of paralysis, because he was training her to use her power to bring people back to either life or just restore their illnesses, because she has the power to control like blood. So she basically brings him back under the guise of thinking that he was going to take down Cypher, not knowing that he was Cypher, and Cypher was actually this guy named Doug who he had been controlling for 30 years.
This sounds more like science.
Yeah, super
Man.
sciencey, action, sci-fi. Yeah, that's why I love it. So he also has this romance with Sage, who we know from The Boys. So there's a lot of crossover. You have been seeing inklings of it throughout the season, but the season finale is jam-packed with a lot of crossover from The Boys characters coming in, because remember, we are going into the final season of The Boys. We don't know yet if they'll continue this story through Gen V, but seeing these characters from The Boys is just gearing you up for this final season. So it's just like, oh, it's so good. So Godalkin basically has a romance with Sage, and now we find out that they have this plan to take over, the community and how they want to use Homelander. But now that Godalkin has his power back, you see he has a whole other plan. He don't even want to use Homelander. He just wants to be the most powerful. And so that's where you see Sage kind of gets disappointed, and so she ends up kind of working to help bring Godalkin down. So then now, meanwhile, the rebels, which are the good heroes over in The Boys, they come in at the end. So you see Starlight come, A-Train, and they join the students. So they're all going to work together in this final season of The Boys to bring down Homelander. It's going to be an amazing end of that show. This was a perfect setup for that final season. Love, love, love. 10, 10, 10s across the board. If you're the Boys fan, go watch this season of Gen V, season 2 of Gen V, because you gotta watch it. It's definitely building up to this final season of The Boys. And this is all on Amazon Prime. All right, so what is last on your weekly grab, best friend?
The Boys. Sorry, I just like the title. It's called The Boys.
Yeah.
Last on my weekly grab, I'm giving you a documentary sandwich. It is a newer documentary that just came out, I think, last week, and it is called Eileen, Queen of the Serial Killers. So this is about the most notorious female serial killer ever, Eileen Wuornos. And I will be honest, I saw the movie with Charlize Theron first. Monster, which she won the Oscar for. And it was just a very different portrayal of who this woman was. And I did some research, but watching the documentary, because most of it was older clips and stuff from like nothing I think that they show was like a current interview. Everything was 2000 and maybe three before. But it just gave me a different glimpse into this woman. Basically, she just grew up very traumatic childhood, was kind of what's the word I'm looking for? She was exposed to sexual assault very early at age, was just not treated very well, got into prostitution at a very early age, was taken advantage of. Then when she met her first like woman, decided that she actually was gay. Then she met a second ugly woman who is the reason that what happened happened to her. And I don't care that she killed these white mean men. Her ex-girlfriend with one tooth didn't have to play her like she played her. She basically double dipped and like switched on her. Anyway, she did kill five Johns or guys that she was with who were trying to take advantage of her while she was servicing them. It kind of humanized her to me, if I can be honest, because her this happened in 1993. 1994, very bigoted in the state of Florida. She was a woman who killed white men. And so to them, whatever they said was true. Now, the person who started this was assaulting her. It was a friend. She started kind of being intimate with him, and he became very abusive and was assaulting her. He had an angry past. The judge and the lawyers would not let this be admitted, just to kind of give her like mental evaluation. They tried to bring in evidence about her childhood, that she had trauma. She might have had some schizophrenia. Like, she wasn't well, and people kept saying like she's not well. But everybody ignored it because she was a white woman killing white men. Not even because she was a white woman. She was a woman and she killed white men. And so she
No, yeah,
really,
she was a white woman killer because it couldn't be no black woman killing white men.
listen, anybody who was killing a white man, they were done. They were, that was it for them. And so basically, for the first trial, they did, it took them like an hour. They was like, she's guilty, give her the chair. She tried to appeal it, but then she said something came over her when she realized they don't care. They're not gonna appeal it. She made her peace with God. She and then she had five more trials to go after she already got the death penalty. So she went to them and was like, "Look, why are we doing this? I don't want to do this. I don't want to relive this trauma. Please take me off this death penalty. Okay, I did it. Whatever you want me to say, I'm gonna die. I've made peace with it, whatever." And then, I mean, the family, you know, they were like happy, thank you for admitting it. But I really just think that they didn't do her justice because she really had a lot of issues. They spoke to one of her jail cellmates, and she was like, "No, you could tell she wasn't right. You can tell something was wrong," and they just didn't care. And so ultimately, you see her like best friend kind of humanize her and just say like, "I couldn't see how they villainized her." You see a Australian journalist who heard about her story, flew all the way to Florida for like her final day, if you will, to kind of speak with her, and she was just like, "It just never made me trust the justice system." So I just, you didn't know that from Monster. When you saw the movie, you saw this
Oh, that was about her.
Yes, Monster was based on her story, but I think it was based on an author and maybe the ex-girlfriend who kind of knew what she was doing all of this to get money for the ex-girlfriend because the ex-girlfriend wanted this, she wanted that, so she was getting her all this stuff. And then she thought, I guess the cops kind of got onto it, but instead of her just saying nothing, she set her up very badly. And then the girl had to listen to the like Eileen had to listen to the call of the girlfriend setting her up and had to watch her act like she never loved her and never cared. And it was just so heartbreaking. But I'm not saying that what she did was right, but what I'm saying is mental health is real. And I just wish she would have got that. So it just, I'm just happy that they did her justice by showing her side. What's last on your weekly grab?
Last time on Weekly Grab, I'm a little slightly late to the party, but I'm here, guys. So, Interview with the Vampire, the show. I am a fan of the movie, so I knew I was eventually going to check out this show when I saw the promotion for it starting. It is now in well, season two finished. Season three is coming out next year, but it's on Netflix. So I checked it out and I wasn't expecting to get so captivated from the jump. But Louis is so damn sexy. And I was like, oh, hello. How are you? Okay. And so then it's also a different perspective than what we saw in the movie with Louis. Louis in the show is a Creole from New Orleans versus in the movie just being a hot white Brad Pitt. So there was this element, there's this element of racism that we're seeing throughout the show, you know, seeing the racial divide and race relations at the time of him. The season one is, I'm at season one, sorry. So I'm not up to season two yet. So I'm just getting started with the show. So I'm breaking it down for the introductory. Okay. So he became a vampire in the year 19 what? 08. No. So it's the early 1900s in New Orleans. He is black, but you know, he got that little mulatto Beyonce look to him. So there's this element of racism, but we're also seeing how Louis's family had a level of respect from white people, and also how New Orleans was always a bit more inclusive than other southern cities at the time, with just kind of being in community with certain black people. So Then there's the tie-in with between Louis and Lestat. Remember, in the movie, Lestat is played by Tom Cruise. In the show, Lestat is like blonde. I can't think of the actor's name right now, but he is. They're all delivering, by the way, amazing, amazing performances by the cast. But in the movie, it was not rooted in a homosexual relationship between Louis and Lestat. Maybe that's how it was in the book. I never read the book, but in the movie, they didn't do that. You know, of course, as vampires, they are just sultry and seductive and stuff, but there was never no element of homosexuality in the film. So to see that it's basically rooted in a gay relationship between them two, that's captivating. And then I'm not even going to hold y'all. So basically, the scene where Lestat first bit Louis, it's like a gay sex scene and it's so sexy. Like, listen,
All
if
right.
you're homophobic, you can't help but be turned on by that scene. 'Cause it's like they're both really sexy men. They're like very attractive. And it's like you see Louis trying to fight this temptation, even though earlier when he's giving you a little, he's like the narrator of the film. You know how that's how the movie is. It's Interview with a Vampire. Louis's the one being interviewed by a journalist in like the 90s. So he's like taking him back to, you know, in the through history of him being a vampire. So he acknowledges that he did have a bit of an attraction to men, but he never explored it. And he runs brothels, so he's around women all day and all of that. But he's basically trying to, ignore the fact, like, bro, you like men, okay? And so now here comes Lestat, and he's a vampire, and he can read thoughts, so he knows that, and he kind of taps into that. And so you're seeing Louis in this scene where he first gets bit by Lestat fight off the fact that, because there he brought a girl there for Louis to, engage with. And so the girl is like doing things to please Louis. And then here comes Lestat with his clothes off. And then he like tries to put his finger on Louis. And at first he throws his hand, and then he does it again. And then they just kiss. And it's like so intimate and sexy. And it's like, oh my God.
All right, let's start.
Right. All right. It's like, okay. It's gay. It's gay Halloween. So, and then yeah, the show is following the start of Louis' life as a vampire. And again, there's always this element of them kind of having this like romantic feelings toward each other. So it's just interesting because the way they're exploring this, I would say it could kind of open you up more because, some people are homophobic, right? And then it's just, it kind of C catches people off guard to see two men, two women, whatever it be, on screen. But the way that they're doing it in this show, and then the fact, it's because of them being vampires, and vampires are already sexy and sultry, and then they're both hot. It's like, okay, I'm locked in. I like
That's
this.
it. It sounds
So
hot.
it's
It
great
sounds very
storytelling,
hot.
very cinematic, all the vampire lore that you love. So I'm giving it 10s out of 10s, and I'm only up to episode 4 of season 1. I still got to get through the rest of season 1, get through season 2, and time for season 3 that's coming out next year. But I'm loving it, loving it, loving it. Check it out. It's Interview with a Vampire on Netflix, because it does air on AMC Plus, but Netflix got these first two seasons, and I'm hoping that they get season 3, because I don't got AMC Plus and I ain't paying for nothing after that.
We're not playing for it.
Okay, so look, y'all, if you like what you're listening to, make sure to like and subscribe, rate and review on whatever platform you're listening to us, streaming us on. Follow us on social media at We Watch Too Much TV. That's TEA with the letter V. Today is amazing on social media with engaging, responding, even making our videos. Like, I love our posts. I love them.
You know, I be trying. You know, thank
Yeah.
you so much. I appreciate it. 'Cause I think it's important for people to know what we be thinking and how we be wanting to express ourselves. So yeah.
Period. Okay.
You know, so let us know
So
what you want us to watch. Oh, some girl on TikTok said a show that it seems like more of your show. I
what is it?
will find it and I will send it to
Oh,
you.
girl, you're supposed to now you're gonna make the girl think we not listening. Today is gonna come back to
It.
whatever
No,
it
I'm
was
gonna
that she
find it. It
forgot.
was a very, it looked good, but it was just a, I'm gonna find it. Hold on, I'm gonna find it.
Is it a scripted show or reality
No, it
TV?
was like a drama, like a like a period drama.
Oh, I
I
love
think it
this.
was on Netflix. I'm gonna find it.
It's
Like,
not The Crown, but
it
something
was
like
something
it.
like vampire-y.
Oh, is it
It
The
is.
Witcher?
Maybe.
I did just start The Witcher, but
Yes, it is The Witcher. That's exactly what
How? Okay, yes, I am. I actually literally just started The Witcher over the weekend, but then I saw an interview with a vampire, so I kind of got more into that. But I'm gonna go back to The Witcher because my community of a fantasy sci-fi watchers, everyone keeps talking about The Witcher, and I'm like, okay, it
No,
seems
she
like.
just started it, she was just like, "Let me know if you guys like watch it." So let me know if you watch it, girl, 'cause I don't.
Okay, so I'm gonna
Not
check out The
for me.
Witcher to make sure that I can add it to my next weekly grab. Because I did start it. I saw the first scene. It literally kicks off with the Witcher dude fighting this like octopus thing in the water, and then it started getting into the dialogue, and it was giving me Games of Thrones-esque, and I was like, okay, I gotta pay more attention, and I'm not ready yet, so I'll come back to this. I'm gonna.
Exactly. It looks like a very much period piece where you have to
Yes.
pay a lot of attention.
Yes, but it is my style because it's fantasy, it's all of that witching and stuff. Yeah, I'm into all that. Give it all to me.
Exactly.
Give it all to me.
Oh,
But
Amy.
yeah, so let's kind of get into who kind of disappointed us. I kind of already gave Mary my unofficial dragging of the week, but I got something else to drag. So let's get into our piss poor performance. Okay, best friend. Who you pissing
Okay, so I don't want to say piss poor this week.
on? Okay.
I would like to give a piss piece of advice.
Okay.
You know what, Miss Angel? You are so beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
You are so beautiful on Real Housewives of Potomac. You are so beautiful. I can tell you have a good energy. I can tell you have a good spirit. Like, I can literally see that. I think your friend, and maybe your opportunity being a new mom, maybe you wanted to kind of reinvent yourself, that you thought, like, yeah, I can do this. Like, I can go on Real Housewives of Potomac. And some people watch the show, but then when you're on the show, it's different. I just don't think that this show, at least now and where you are mentally, emotionally, spiritually, is for you. The last two episodes, where, first of all, this is what I love about TV. You're gonna forget. They don't, because they tape everything. Literally, she went in that room on a high. And if Kay was more open and receptive, like, I'm glad you had fun, I think she would have maintained that high. I feel like Kay was like, I couldn't be fake. I didn't want to stay. I didn't like anybody. You know, I'm annoyed. Then that brought her, like, ooh, I should be mad again. And to everybody's point, since you left that room hugging everybody, I'm that MMF-er. Like, I'm that bit. Like, you left in a good mood and then you carried it the next day. I understand the emotions, like, with like the whole thing. Because I did think it was stupid to Giselle to think about Photoshop. Who don't add a filter to their photos? It's 2025. Everybody adds a damn filter. Everybody, or floor makeup. So
Right.
that's stupid. But I just think maybe. Well, maybe it'll change. It's early, but you're just coming across as, like they say, like just like a, I can't think of the word.
I can understand where she's at as I'm watching the show and being a new mom myself. I mean, I think she's on her second kid, so she just had two kids back to back. Just the hormones, the emotions, the weight change, the change in your physical appearance, especially also being a journalist, front
Right.
facing, and so you're always just kind of thinking about how you used to look, and even just seeing her and on television, I'm like, oh, and then she showed the throwback pictures. I'm like, oh yeah, okay, I can see how she could be insecure about her physical appearance, and on top of the emotions that you just feel, the hormones and all of that from being a new mom and still breastfeeding, all of that. So I can understand that, but at the same time, I don't understand why she would put herself in this environment.
Right.
When you're in such a vulnerable place as a mom, as a new mom, This is a cutthroat. We know housewives. It is cutthroat. Like, you gotta be ready. Not everybody could be Ashley's forehead coming with your breast milk to be messy and start shit and leave. But
All she do is just pass a rumor.
that's,
All
you know what I
Ashley
mean?
do
Like, you,
is be
not
like,
everybody's
not her.
Ashley's forehead. So it's like, what I get from Angel is you're just not that girl in that way. And then, like, what we are seeing of Kiana with her, really just honestly, like, Kiana got a stank attitude. And so if this is your friend and you have this personality trait where you have to just ride or die for your friends, even when they're wrong, this really wasn't the place for you. Because at least if you're not going to play, when that first scene, I thought she was going to be one of those devil's advocate type friends. But you see, after she got chin checked, clearly you really got chin checked. Because it's like, now you are not dare to speak against anything that Kiana does, whether she's wrong or not.
Then
And
this
it's like,
whole
yeah,
chin
she's done
check
it. She's
word, like what? Chin check, chin check, chin
chin
check. I'm
check.
like,
Chin check and
say it one
speak
more
for
time. Say it one more damn time. Chin
I
check.
can't believe we're talking about chin check. And I ain't heard the term chin check since like 1998. It's like,
Hello.
what?
Hello.
So, yeah. So, Angel, this isn't a good look for you. I really don't see them bringing Kiana back as a full-time housewife. Unless we have to see how the rest of the season plays out. The way it's looking right now, I would see, Bravo is really white. So it's like, I can see them being like, we can find someone else. You know what I mean? And then Karen's coming back. Why do they need Kiana there? And you just have a stank attitude. Like, we don't need you to shake it up in that way. And then if
Yeah.
Angel, if that's your claim to fame with the group and you're not even just trying to have your own voice, you're not going to come back, boo-boo. And for this to, now, if this is your only season, you would hate for this to be your only representation now.
And you see how they once they separated Robin and Giselle, because those are the two butt buddies. Giselle came into her own. Angel, you
Yes.
don't have what Robin and Giselle had. You're not an OG.
No.
You need to step in your own.
This is
Even
your
though
first
Giselle
season.
introduced Tia, Tia is like, I am me.
Tia
This is, I
and
love Tia.
Jazzy
I
are
love
bringing
Tia.
it.
I
Bringing it.
love, because you could tell she's honest and she doesn't care. She said, no, I thought the same thing, but why would I say that in front of
And
everybody?
then you could tell Jazzy is messy.
Yeah.
And so
Yeah.
it works. It
Yeah.
completely works.
But you
So,
can't be
yeah.
so scary and kind of like,
Oh, no, we could already see those two are going to be full-time next season. Because Tia gives me Jessel vibes. I love it.
Yeah.
And Jassy is just messy, and we need that. And they both be going toe-to-toe with Ashley. And Ashley needs some messy competition. So I'm here for them. They're definitely going to take Kiana and Angel's spot. And it's unfortunate. It's not unfortunate, because honestly,
Yeah.
this was Kiana's chance to prove herself, and she just proved that she doesn't need to be a housewife. She doesn't have what it takes. You can
So
just
this is
come.
not a piss poor. I don't want to use that word, but Angel, I just hope
Yeah.
that you don't feel the pressure or the need to, like, you can have your friends back and not feel the need to believe and think everything she thinks, especially because she's so unhappy. Okay, who's your piss poor?
Okay, so I already dragged Mary. That was my piss poor, but I watched Jurassic World Rebirth on Peacock, and they got to get my piss poor because they really pissed me off with by doing every cheesy stereotype in the Jurassic World book. Like, at the start of the film, it's like, oh no, a dinosaur broke out in the lab. Everyone evacuate. Oh no, guy gets left behind, and he ate me. The dinosaur ate me. Next scene. Oh no, a dinosaur in the water. Family gets away. The crew who saves them decides, oh, let's go toward the dinosaur to get a specimen. And oh, the dinosaur ate one of us. Oh no, now we're stuck on an island with the dinosaurs. What's gonna happen? Ah, we all get eaten one by one. I just would have liked some more originality to the story, guys. It's like, we know these are dinosaurs in modern times, but I like what they did with the last film. It was like the element of like the dinosaurs being in this like amusement park where people are going to visit this park to interact with these dinosaurs or whatever are. They could have done it where it was like they've had the community. It could be like a community or a dinosaur safari or a dinosaur island. Well, they've done that. They've done all those things. So it's like you got to get more original. And then on top of that, it's like you got to switch it up. For them to the first scene to be the lab, It's always the lab, guys. It's always a lab, and one of the dinosaurs break free, or something happens, and then the dinosaur comes, and then he eats, and then always one person gets left behind, like, no, let me
So you're Steven
out.
Spielberg now. So the next
No. It's
movie,
like,
you're
I'm
gonna be.
sorry, Scarlett Johansson didn't save it for me. Mahershala Ali didn't save it for me. I love that they are in the film and that they survived, but I'm sorry. I'm hoping that the next film, because there's another one coming out. As it should. We love you. I'm still
Why
watching
does it keep coming out?
because
Did
we're
the
gonna watch
dinosaur
it.
all die? I've never seen one Jurassic Park in my
I am gonna
life.
watch it. I am gonna watch it regardless. You understand me? Okay. So I just need them to get a little bit better with the storyline and the plot line and switch it up a bit. You don't gotta stick to all the old formulas that was done in the 1993 film. Come on, guys. Okay.
Oh, God.
Okay, so
Oh,
those are our piss
God.
four. Those are our piss four. So let's actually get into who we're actually rooting for as part of our yay segment. Okay, who are you rooting for, best friend?
I would have never thought the sentence would have came out of my mouth in 2025, but I'm rooting for Jamal Bryant,
Oh.
aka Giselle Bryant's ex-husband, because he has told the people of his church to not donate to the church. He said any money that you were going to donate to them, you should give to a food pantry in lieu of the SNAP benefits being taken away. And I think that is one of the most honorable things that somebody can say, has said. It shows selflessness because you got pastors in these churches asking for $2,000. So when you have somebody saying it, just I just
And
saw
then
it.
got the nerve to get mad when the lady comes up short and comes with $1,200.
I said, that's not what I asked for.
That's
I
not what
know
I
you
chose for
lying,
you.
but it just warmed my heart that Mr. Cheating Brian could have it, just have the heart to say, don't give me this money. Because, I mean, he don't really need it. He don't need it. And say, you know what? People in our community, in the Georgia community, they need it more. So I'm rooting for you. Don't make me regret it, Jamal. Who are you rooting for?
Okay, so first, just a little shout out to season two of The Wizards of Baking. You already know my
Oh,
show
season
is up.
two. Okay.
Period. I went on Discovery Plus to just watch some House Hunters, and they reminded me that Wizards of Baking is back. And I watched that first episode, and I love it. You already know, Harry Potter fans, shout out to the community. We out here. Wizards of Baking season two is out. Okay. My actual yes is going to the Wife Swap Real Housewives edition. So the first two episodes came out. The first one is with Angie K. She swaps lives with this off-the-grid family in Idaho. And it was such a beautiful episode. So beautiful. Honestly, I know there's like stuff coming about Angie K and how she fought so hard, like did all this back behind the scenes and stuff to get on the show. She always wanted to get on.
Oh, I believe it.
I believe it too, but it was just really nice seeing, you get to see more of their actual personalities. You get to see also how much of the Housewives show is edited because you don't know half this stuff about that you find out about them or even see them in the way that you're seeing them in this element, really seeing their family structure because they're swapping lives with someone else. So seeing Mary, Angie out in Idaho with this family, like girl, she they have a compost toilet. They basically poop and pee in a bag. And she the wife takes out the bag of poo-poo and pee every day. And so you see Angie K do it. It's like so gross. It's really humbling for her, but then also that their episode two is with Melissa Gorga and a black family in Atlanta, which is really their episode is more
I
entertaining.
did
Like
see the Joe jumping double dutch. I thought that
Yes. So
was hilarious.
Angie K's episode was like more endearing, and then Joe and Melissa's was more entertaining. Cause yes, you see Joe Gorga jumping double dutch, and then the family is they're pretty messy, and the wife admits that. So and then Melissa's a clean freak. So just that dynamic, it's just kind of funny to watch at times. But you're also just seeing a lot more of the personality of these people that we see on Real Housewives, but not so much. So it makes them a bit more likable. Melissa really runs a super Italian household where
Of
she
course,
does.
of course.
It's the fact that she reveals that Joe Gorga never even changed a diaper for none of their kids. I couldn't believe that. Like, not one diaper. Like, Like, are you kidding me? How you don't change your kid's diaper? I don't like that. Men who don't change their kid's diaper piss me off. But yeah, she trades life with Michelle, and they run a double dutch company in Atlanta. So it got me thinking, if you could swap lives with a housewife, who would it be?
Honestly, I would probably swap lives with maybe Heather Gay because she's single. She's single, she has everything going for her, and she's rich, and her kids are out the house. What about you?
Yeah, I would pick either Meredith Marks or, of course, Kathy Hilton.
Oh my God, Kathy Hilton. Yes, her.
Right. 'Cause she's just a friend of, she's rich as shit. You know, her daughters are a little racist, but they're rich, they successful, they all got their own thing going. She got her own empire. Yeah, but I also would pick Meredith Marks first, 'cause her kids aren't racist, and Seth just seems really fun. Her husband,
He seems
yeah.
like the best time ever.
Yes. Yeah, so I think we would just have a good time. But yeah, so that's our show, guys. Like, literally we got through it 'cause it's fun. We have fun talking about television. So now we're gonna get into, oh yeah, and don't forget to like and subscribe, rate, review, follow us on social media at We Watch Too Much TV.
Let us know what we should watch next week, and we will watch it and we
Because
will
yeah,
remember
now I
it.
gotta watch The Witcher.
Yes, because I knew I was not, but I knew you would. I said, let me
That'll happen
in
because
it.
sometimes y'all might tell us to watch a documentary or an
And she's
episode
not
of
going to watch it. I will.
a damn show that's gonna make you cry. I'm not watching it. I'm
You
not
better
watching
give
This
me a
Is
medical
Us.
drama.
Right. I'm not watching none of those shows that make me cry. Like, it's just not happening. But let's get into how we like to close our show, you know, with some positivity. Yeah, I gave you a little D'Angelo right there.
Yes.
Okay, best friend, what is your quote?
Incredible change happens in your life when you decide to take control of what you have power over instead of craving control over what you don't. From Steve Morabeli. Whoever
Okay.
you are, thank you, Steve. What's
Yeah, that's
yours?
right. My quote is, the best compliment isn't about your face, your outfit, or your achievements. It's when someone notices your spirit, such as the warmth in your tone, the way you make people feel safe, or the quiet strength in your eyes. That's the kind of beauty time can't erase. From Vex King.
I like that one. Thank you, Vex.
Period. Thank you, Vex. Period. Dot. All right. And on that note, our closing slogan is
Love, abundance, and beautiful hair bundles just in time for the holiday season.
love y'all. Happy holidays. Be good. Save
Yes.
your money.
Bye.